Thank you, David. Good evening, everybody. Oh, my goodness. All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
There we go. Phoenix knows. Sorry, I want to move this so that my phone doesn't turn off on me. I'm really happy to be here tonight. It's been a couple years since my family and I were able to come, and it's always good to see everybody. It's good to hear everybody coming up and saying, hey, your kids are so big. It's not so good to hear everybody say, hey, you're getting so big. That's not my favorite thing, but that's okay. I have a message that has been on my heart. My brother Dwayne asked me months ago if I'd be willing to preach here, and I told him I would, and we hadn't had plans to come here yet, but I wanted to, and told him I would. And I had a message put on my heart very soon afterwards, and have been thinking about it and adding notes and things together for a couple of months now. And so you see the title of my sermon, Come Up Higher, We Can Do Hard Things. And it is, and I know all of you brothers who have been in this position of preaching in a reunion or a conference where there's sermons in succession, you know, you have to trust that the Lord knows what the theme is and what He wants to encourage. So I was so pleased. You know, I wasn't able to be here for Saturday, although I know there wasn't preaching, but I wasn't able to be here for all that. I had to work. So I worked my regular shift on Thursday and Friday, and then my nephew brought me to the airport, and I was delayed all day. So I finally got in Saturday night. I didn't hear all the testimonies and everything, but I listened on Sunday. Listened to the sermon that Brother Jay preached, and I thought, the Lord, He knows what He's doing. And listened to some of the things that Chris said last night, and said, the Lord, He knows what He's doing. And so He knew what He was doing when He put this message on my heart. So I hope that you receive it tonight, because I want to be of great encouragement. I have this picture here, and this is a picture. There is a mountain that I like to hike. Right there, close to our house, my family, we call this Erica's Mountain. Erica used to be Moser, her last name's Lavin now, Jay and Chris's daughter, because she used to live in a house just down at the base of it. I like this mountain because it's relatively close to the house. It's got a very challenging trail that goes up it, and you're gonna see some of it. I was up there, I was climbing it one day, I got to one of the peaks there. Peak sounds like it's super tall. It's not super tall, but one of the peaks right there. And I looked out and I saw, this is looking east over the northern part of Phoenix. And there's you see some clouds just sitting on top of some other mountains there. Those are the McDowell Mountains. I thought, that's a really pretty picture. I'll take a picture of it. You see my shadow there, sun's behind me. And I look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame because I've got something on my back. Let me talk about this. You see here this picture. I got myself, and there behind me is my nephew Logan Jacobson, my sister Alicia, and brother-in-law Gary's oldest son. And we're going up this mountain, and you see that we've got something on our backs. So I'm a firefighter. I've been a firefighter now for about 5 years. I love my job. It's a very good job. And one of the things that I like about it is, you know, some of you know, maybe some of you don't. My father passed away of a heart attack at 51 years old. And so it's always in my mind now that while I have potentially some tendencies in my family, so it's awesome to me that I have a job that requires me to stay in shape. And I do. I work out all the time. I may not look like it, but And I do the things that are necessary for the job that I do. I've got two sandbags there. Logan's carrying one. I've got the other one. The one on my back weighs 100 pounds. The one on Logan's back weighs 80 pounds. And we're not trying to show off or anything. It's because, as firefighters, this is very close to the amount of gear that I put on if I go into a fire. I'm about 80 or so pounds heavier. And so, as you can imagine, it requires some effort to move in that, and it's something that unless you practice with it, you are going to have a hard time. And I mean, of course, we do all sorts of other things in our gear at work and all that, but this is one of the workouts that I do frequently. Some of the young men in the local have done this with me. My sons have done it with me. And Logan and I like to do this. But this is what we do. It's important that we learn how to work with the weight that we have agreed to carry. And this is, obviously, it's true as you see that I'm focusing on this and this exercise, but it's also true in my spiritual life. I've made a promise, and many of you have as well today who are here. You made a promise that you were going to bear up under a weight every day. My grandfather, many of you know my grandfather, Hubert Yates, he oftentimes would say that you're supposed to take up your cross daily, and he'd emphasize that. And so I think about that. And my sermon is, come up higher. We can do hard things. You see my scripture here. The Lord, speaking through Isaiah, says, heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And yet, he invites us to come upwards toward him. And it's something that requires effort from us. Well, one of the reasons why I like this mountain is because this mountain is the trail that it is constantly up, except for two spots. One spot, maybe about 30 feet or so, comes flat as you see a saddle on this right side, kind of in between, flattens out just barely. And then there's one spot where you go downhill just for a very short thing, but all the rest of it is uphill. The whole thing is up. And so it makes for a very good exercise, because I don't get to rest on a flat, on a straightaway, or anything like that. It's also difficult. I've got some pictures here. The picture on the right is right when you start. And it's hard to take. I took this picture the other day when I was hiking it. And that's sand and rocks and gravel. And the rocks maybe about like this. And you twist your ankles on it very quickly, and the sand and everything. And it starts this climb, and it's hard with the camera, with my phone. None of this is AI generated, by the way. This is all real. No funny pictures in here other than that one of me. But anyway, this is, you start off, and it's difficult. Anybody who's ever walked through sand or anything knows it's a challenge to do that. And then on that left side, is part of this going up, and you see it's like an established trail, but nobody takes care of it, and you just kind of go up and down it. And this is these parts of the trail that I go up, and it's important. It's super good for your joints, for your knees, and all that too, as you're going up, to have to use these stabilizing muscles and everything. So this uneven terrain is actually very good for you, and so it's just this challenge. And I love to do this hike. Got all sorts of pictures. You can see all sorts of things. I'm looking off that picture you see where you've got, again, my hunchback there in that shadow. I'm looking off to the northwest. Way off in the distance, you can see some mountains. Those of you who have driven from Phoenix up to the 40 in Flagstaff, you go through Sunset Point and everything, and you can see just barely way off there. The middle one, I'm looking south. That little point you see there is where that very first picture I took was. And that one on the left, well, it's hard to see, but there's a trail there. And you got to just climb over it. And it's hard. You get to the top, and here's the view. We don't have, I'm not going to get some beautiful view of the city of Phoenix. It doesn't exist. But this is, you can see off here in this picture on the left. From this point, you can see the Estrella Mountains that are probably, from this particular point, probably 70, 60-ish miles, something like that. Someone who's kind of familiar with it maybe think, what do you think, Jay, probably about that? It's a long way. And you can see all the way across there. If you were able to zoom in down there in those houses in the bottom right portion of that, my truck is down there. And you can't see it. I drive a big F-250. And so you kind of see all these. This picture on the left is looking to the southeast, way off across there. This is the very top. There's a little radio tower there because there's an airport there. I guess not a radio tower, it's a light tower to say, hey, don't crash into this mountain. And we go all the way up there. You make it all the way up this hard path, and you are not done until you touch the fence. And then we turn around and we go right back down and up this other point again. And you can see that middle picture. I'm looking down at everything that we came through. And this is, I enjoy doing this. This is the hardest part for me. The hardest part of this hike is going downhill. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, why is the hardest part going downhill? Well, I looked at it. This joke kills it in Phoenix, so I'll try it. Some of you know I went to medic school last year for my department, so I'm practically a doctor. And I know, learn some stuff about the body. And the more I learn, and I just kind of look this up, I realize that our bodies are not really built to go downhill. When you go downhill, I looked it up, the NIH did a study on this. They say when you go downhill, your knees take 3.5 times your body weight. 3.5 times. I'm really not as svelte as I look. I weigh a decent amount. With that pack on, I'm probably 350, 360 pounds, right? Maybe more than that. 3.5 times that. Every step I go down this, my knees are taking that, and my knees hurt. All the time, every day, my knees hurt just because of things I've done throughout my life and injuries I've sustained, and I've developed arthritis in my right knee. It doesn't stop me from doing all this. It's just always painful. And the worst part is going downhill. Now, we had some sisters visit us for our reunion back in February, and our sisters from Michigan, one of the days they went and they did a hike up North Mountain, which is paved. And when they finished, what they said was the hardest part was going downhill. It hurts. It hurts. In fact, the NIH says the best way for you to go downstairs is to turn around and walk backwards so that your hips, those ball joints in there, take that 3.5 times your weight, because your knees, that pressure over time, it's just going to wear them out. And I've come to this realization that we're not built to go down. We are built to go up. We're built to go higher. I personally, you know, if you, I'm a hunter. I love hunting. And I love going out up into the mountains of Arizona and looking up and seeing this giant mountain, and I want to climb over it. My uncle and I share that. We look at it and we think, I wonder what's on the other side. And you get up to the top, and then you get in and you're like, I wonder what's on the other side of that. And that's what I want to do. I want to keep going up. You put weight on my back, I can go up forever. I'll do this hike with Zane. Zane doesn't carry any weight, but we'll do this hike with Zane, and going down, he just zips on down there, and he gets so far ahead of me. I'll beat him up, but I can't beat him down. Why? It hurts to go down. I'm not built to go down. And I've come to this realization, and I've been thinking about this a lot, that we're built to ascend, to go upward. And going upward requires effort, but you know, we're built to do it. We're built to go up. My knees are built, my legs are built to take every bit of weight and to take it up more efficiently than it is to go down. I'm built to go upwards. Well, you know, I'm thinking about this, and obviously I'm not here to talk about my workouts or anything like that. I'm just trying to open up this thought that as I was going down this very hill, the Lord told me, this is what you need to talk to the church who assembles themselves together about. And I didn't know why. And usually I don't have a sermon months and months ahead. That's not the way the Lord has worked with me. But he did here. And so I'm thinking about all this. And thinking about, you know, it's not my job. It requires me to stay physically fit. I don't really, there's a part of me that enjoys doing stuff like this. And there's a part of me that dreads it. I don't want to do it. We do it when it gets very hot. We have to do it when it gets hot in Phoenix. My job doesn't stop when it's hot, and so Logan and I will do this in the middle of the summer. It's 115 degrees. It's not pleasant. I don't want to do it. And so I was thinking about this, in terms of our spiritual life, you know, about the difficulty that is the promise that we've made. I mean, there's a burden that comes with it. And we can talk about all these things. The Lord makes the burden light and all that. And I agree with you. But it still is a challenge for us. And why do we do it? What is it? You know, and as we look at, you know, as I look at this hike exercise, whatever. In my mind, I have to make this distinction that what I'm willing to do, the outcome for it is completely worth the effort. It's worth the effort. You know, we come to church, and one of the things that as ministry from, you know, from the time I was thinking about this, I have such a rich and beautiful spiritual heritage here in this church. And we say something like that, and you think about your family, and, oh, I've got my uncle who's been such a strength and a blessing to me, and my grandfather. Everybody knows my grandfather, you know, but it's Pat McCann, who I remember her teaching me Sunday school at her kitchen table, and I'm sure I was just a turd. And I don't remember what she taught me, but I remember that she taught me. I think about my brother Glenn Gill. You know, I'm no relation to him, but I remember him every year coming to youth camp, and I remember things that he said that have always stuck with me, always stuck with me. I have this spiritual heritage, and those who have told me and have helped me to see, hey, this is a worthwhile effort. It's worth it. It's worth the difficulty. And as I grew and I experienced the Lord and he showed himself to me, realized this is certainly worth it. But it's difficult. And every one of you in your own way have experienced these difficulties in your spiritual life, and you will continue. And so, you know, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart to tell you is give him your best. Your best. Give him your best. I go up this mountain with my son Zane, and he's the smallest part of my family, and his legs are the shortest, and all, you know, and just tell him, make a goal. I want you to give me your best as we go up this. I want you to give me your best. At my department right now, we have new firefighters who have just come out of the academy. Well, when we hired them, they put me in charge of getting them ready for the academy. And so we were doing hard workouts with these sandbags and with other things at my department. And, you know, we had one day where we go to a hospital that's local to us, and they said, you're welcome to use these stairwells. And we just spent hours carrying these sandbags up and down. There's a girl who is on, I guess, girl sounds like she's 23 years old. She's on my truck now. I'm training her. She was in that pre-academy. You know, she's this big, 140 pounds. And I said, you know, Courtney, I don't want you to keep up with these other guys. All I want you to do is give me your best. If you can give me your best, then you have accomplished everything that I want you to do. And, you know, this is what the Lord is asking for us. What is your best? I'm going to keep moving here. Several years ago, I don't know how long ago, Jay preached a sermon. And he said, let us go up. Let us go up. Let us go up to Jerusalem. And he talked about that so often in Scripture. You know, this going up to Jerusalem, to this promised land of, you know, it's going up. Even if it was down, it's up. It's up. And the Lord is looking for us to go up. Well, going up is tiring. It's hard. It's hard to go upwards. It's hard to go upwards physically. You know, you climb a bunch of stairs and you start breathing hard and everything. It's hard to go upwards spiritually, to challenge yourself, to make changes, to spend time in prayer, to be cautious about the things you do or you don't do or say or don't say. It's hard. It requires effort from you. And there's times, you know, where you're just exhausted. You, man, I can't do this. You know, it's hard to go up. Up is tiring. Going down is easier. It hurts, but it takes less effort. But, you know, I've never in my life heard a story from somebody who walked downhill both ways in the snow to go to school. We recognize the challenges in going up. And the Lord calls us to do this. Well, let's keep moving here. Those are my pictures. I have some of these scriptures that are written down. Some we're just going to have to turn to. I'm going to read here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Christ speaking to the people there says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago in Phoenix, and I brought up this scripture, and I'm going to have a couple of thoughts from there, but I'm not preaching the same sermon. So if you watch that or you are present there, this isn't a rerun. But I think this is something that's really important. You look at the scripture and Christ is talking to the people and he makes this statement. He says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." And I was thinking, and as I was preparing for this sermon, I started looking at that. Well, this word straight, that Greek word, meant narrow, as in obstacles standing close about, which made a lot of sense. You know, when you get into this pathway of Christ, this walk of a Christian, you don't get to take everything with you. You've got to go through a narrow gate. The act of baptism means you have to be putting something down, putting something behind you, leaving it alone. And I've told this story many times. I'm not going to go deeply into it, but in the fire department, one of these things that we do is at some point, and we do it every once in a while, even not when you're in the academy, but they put you through, they call it a confidence course. They have you in all of your gear. You're wearing your pack. You're on air. And they cover your face so you can't see. And then they put you in confined spaces. And you have to move through this smaller and smaller and wires that tangle you and all of this. And, you know, at the end of my academy, they had one. They have a tower that we use. And four stories of this was just this continuous, small path that was, you had to go through obstacles, and you know, sometimes it was so small you had to take something off and push it through first. Couldn't take everything with you. And so, you know, I think about that, and Christ says that straight is the gate. You don't get to take everything with you. You have to lay some stuff down. And I shouldn't need to go farther than that. For those of you who are these mature Christians, have read about this and have heard these things, like, you know what the Lord is talking about. It's narrow. You don't get to take everything with you. But the word narrow doesn't mean narrow. It means to crowd, literally or figuratively. And then it says literally or figuratively, to afflict, to suffer tribulation or trouble. So Christ says, you want to get in this walk of following me, you're going to have to put some stuff down. And then the way that goes to eternal life is going to be like this mountain that I go up. It's uneven terrain. There's rocks that are going to roll. It's going to be up. You're going to have to traverse over all sorts of difficult things because it's got tribulation in it. The tribulation is just a reality of living differently, of shouldering that weight of your commitment and going upwards. You know, it's a difficult world that we live in. Difficult as a Christian. But I want you to remember that. Is that the Lord says, this pathway that you are on to eternal life is not intended to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. We can do hard things. We can do hard things. Well, we're going to go here. Well, that doesn't make much sense. Jeremiah 6, 16 to 16. We'll go 15 to 16 probably there. Jeremiah 6. 6, we'll go 15 and 16, I'm sure is what I meant there. It's supposed to be 16 and 17. 16 and 17 if you're following along. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. These words, the people who are in Phoenix, they know I like looking at words. I like looking at the Strong's definitions. I want to try to understand it a little bit more. And I'm looking at this, and you know, that word, that old paths there, it means those old paths, it means practically eternity. Frequently, adverbially used, adverb used in a verb is always. Look for those eternal paths and walk in those. The narrow paths. And that word walk, it says walk therein, it says be continually exercised. Continually exercised. The Lord wants us to be continually exercised. I said it at the beginning, we're not built to go down, we're built to go up. We're meant to go upward. Oh, I put these things in there. Look at that. I didn't have to read it off my phone. Psalm 61 and 2. I'll do one and two. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, here David says, I need your help. And he recognizes that the help that the Lord offers is higher than what we have, than what we can possess, than what we have our hands on, than what we can comprehend. David says, you know, to have that strength for an overwhelmed heart that comes from God means going up, going up. And I find that in my life when I'm burdened and I'm struggling and I've had things that felt overwhelming. It required something of me that didn't oftentimes feel fair at the time. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I asked for. The Lord called me to go up. I took this picture flying out here. I'm not going to try to mess at all with a mouse or anything like that. So maybe I can describe it unless there's like a laser pointer somewhere. But I took this picture because when you take off from Phoenix, you typically take off to the east. Usually you go to the east. That's the way kind of the prevailing winds come there to the airport. But this time, when I flew out on Saturday morning, we took off to the west. And so we took off to the west, and then we did a big arc to the north, and then zipped around the north side of the city to go north and east as we're coming here. And I took this picture because the mountain that you saw pictures of is in this. My neighborhood, 75% of the Phoenix local where they live is in this picture. Let me try to describe it for you. You can see it almost looks like a black river that's going up there, and that's a freeway. Just before it comes up over here where you see it cross a canal, there's a road that cuts off to your left, and that's the road that a lot of us live off of. And you go a mile and a half down that, so the next big black road you see there going north and south, that's 32nd Street. And just a little bit beyond that, where some of the shadow of the clouds are, there's kind of a, it almost looks like a dirt area. And that's where the majority of the Phoenix local lives, in that neighborhood. And the Church of Christ Phoenix local is right there. And then up in that picture and a little bit to the left is that mountain there. Well, I took that picture and I was having this thought. So I had just gotten off of work. We were busy my whole 48-hour shift. We were up all night. I knew we were going to be. We were up all night before I left. And I was having this thought as we're flying over the enormous city of Phoenix metro area, 5 million people, area larger than L.A. and all this huge thing. And you know, from 20,000 feet, you can see everything. And I know that down there in those pictures that there are police officers arresting some violent criminal. And I know down there in those pictures there's some lady having a baby somewhere. And there's a fire somewhere and some firefighters putting it out and all of that. But up higher, you can see the whole picture. Nephi had this experience. He had listened to his father tell this story, this experience he had where he saw this rod of iron and everything. He said, I just wanted to understand it. I wanted to know what my father saw, and I wanted to understand this. So he began praying about it, and he says, wherefore, as I sat pondering in my heart, I was caught away in the Spirit of the Lord, yea, unto an exceeding high mountain, which I had never before seen, and upon which I had never before set my foot. There's something that is indicative of mountains. And this sounds stupid, but you can see a lot more once you're up there, usually. I'm sure you go to places, especially back east, places like West Virginia and all that, where it's nothing but trees everywhere. But if you get where it breaks open, you can see for miles. Miles and miles. And thinking about this, when Nephi wanted the Lord to speak to him, and the Lord spoke to him, he took him up above everything else. Above his frustrations with his brothers, above the need to travel and the search for food and all of these things, he took him up higher so that he could see above so that he could see greater. And, you know, this is kind of one of these things that I've noticed in my life. You know, I think Jay said something about it, and I've thought this a lot of times. You know, I've said and done some really dumb things in my life in front of a lot of you. Said things that weren't timely, and I wasn't mature in the ways that I hope I am now, where I see things a little bit different. But you know, the Lord, slowly but surely in my life, as I've tried to bear up this responsibility and begin to shed things in my life and begin to try to see through His eyes, He's brought me higher and higher. I see things differently now. And, you know, if the Lord gives me the opportunity to live years longer, I wonder how much differently I'm going to understand the way He works and moves and does things. But I want you to remember this, is that if you're looking for the Lord to work and move in your life, your desire should be to go up higher, because that's where He's going to bring you. It's where He wants to bring you. I suppose that's good there. Keep moving here. Well, God dwells in a higher place, and we know that. For a lot of years at youth camp, and some of the younger people here may have been in a class that I taught once upon a time called Absolute Truth, and we talked about God and all that. And I always said, you know, where's God at? Oh, He's in heaven. I said, where's heaven? And they'd go like this. I'm like, well, you know, once you get out the earth, there is no up. So maybe, you know, is He over here? Is He over there? I don't know where He's at, other than it's not where I'm at. It's higher. God's dwelling place is higher. He says in Isaiah, my thoughts are higher. All of this, you know, and we're trying to come up to be with Him, and that means it's going up higher. Well, Isaiah, I'll read here real quick. Isaiah 57. Three through seven, and then I'm going to jump down to another part. It says, but draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, ye seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not the children of transgression, the seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rock? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion, even they are thy lot. Even to them thou hast poured out a drink offering, thou hast offered a meat offering. And should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain thou hast set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. He says these things, and it's like, it's always funny when you read some of these words, and like, man, he's really got away with words here. And he's talking about these people. He says, you put yourself up on a lofty mountain. You make offerings up on a lofty mountain. And he says, should I receive comfort in these? That word lofty, elevated, powerful or arrogant, haughty. You have offered up something, and you thought it was good. You thought it was righteous. You thought you were there. Not considering the things you were doing, saying all of those things. You know, and the Lord is, He's looking at that with us. And, you know, He's looking at that with me. This is a sermon for me. I've got such a job that not only do I enjoy it, takes care of my needs, but it's given me so many good opportunities spiritually. I'm in a place where I get to minister to a whole department, and I've gotten to do amazing things. I've done weddings, and I've done funerals, and I administered to people, family members, before we took them off life support, and been called to administer to babies in the hospital of guys that I was awesome. And it's hard. It's hard to be different, to think different, in the moment. It's hard. And what I don't want to do is want to build up and offer something to the Lord on my lofty mountain. that I'm up here understanding you, Lord, and yet I'm standing in a place of arrogance this is something that we need to consider. We need to consider. Well, you know, as we go on there, verse 15, thus saith the high and lofty one. That's not the same lofty word. That inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, that word strong where it says that where it says I dwell in the high and holy place. That's altitude. That is concretely an elevated place. Far above, adverbially, aloft, far above. The most high, upward. I live, you know, the Lord says, I dwell in this much higher place, much higher. And I dwell in this place, and my desire is to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones, those who are making these efforts to come up higher, to do hard things. Sorry, I'm double tapping here. 2 Nephi 8, 18 through 19. It shall come to pass in the last days when the mountain of the Lord's house, we heard it read in Isaiah. Today, maybe yesterday. It shall come to pass in the last days, when the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up on the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word, out of Jerusalem. And there is coming the day when the Lord's house is going to be established on top of the mountains, a mountain on top of a mountain, above the hills, and people are going to come to it. We're anticipating that. We've talked about it at this conference. Brother Rollins said that there is something that is coming that we need to be prepared for. And the Lord is going to call people to come and begin climbing upward, and they have to climb. They've got to come, and they've got to climb. But this is the things that the Lord is doing and that we are invited to be a part of. This high calling of a follower of Jesus Christ. We're invited to be a part of it. So these pictures right here, my station, right across the main road from my station, my town put in this huge, huge, beautiful park. And they did it in a couple phases. In the first phase, they put this big lake in there, this big fishing lake, and some really cool jungle gyms that were a lot of fun for us to test out and make sure that they were safe. And nothing there, no laughs, okay. Pickleball courts. We like to play pickleball. Did all this stuff. Well, the whole time they were doing that, they're building a second portion of it, and they're building a big, huge gym area and a bunch of swimming pools and some water slides. And of course, we were looking at those water slides and thinking, well, you know, we probably need to train on those water slides just in case something were to happen up there. We're going to have to go up there. And it doesn't matter if it's fun or not. We need to make sure that the structural integrity is good and all of that. So just the other day, we were able to go up there. And they weren't ready for us to go down them yet, but they're like maybe four stories. Maybe four stories you go up this, 40-ish feet. And it's amazing how much more you can see with just a little bit of elevation. Just going a little bit higher. Like 40 feet. You can see in the distance. I've taken some pictures of mountains. If you've been to the Phoenix area, you've ever heard of it. That lower picture right there, the big mountain you see out there, is called the Superstitions. Superstition Mountains. You might not believe this. It's all desert right there, but several times a year, those will be all covered in snow. I've got lots of pictures of it I didn't put in there. And the other picture, kind of looking to the north right there. But you can see so much if you just get a little higher. Just a little higher. Well, I'm thinking about that and thinking this as well, that the path to sacrifice is upward. A I apologize that I was a little late this morning. We had a little incident where we had to pray about finding our vehicle keys, so I didn't hear all of the comments that Jay was making, but I walked in when he was reading this scripture, and I said, the Lord knows what he's doing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I was thinking about this, and I did a little bit of research, and I was just thinking here, you know, the higher up you go on a mountain, no matter where you're at, the higher up you go, the trees and everything is going to begin to thin out, and you're going to be able to see more. There's a tree line. In Arizona, the tree line is about 10,000 feet. Farther north you go in the northern hemisphere, that tree line is going to drop down to 7,000-ish feet or all that. But any of you guys have seen pictures of anything, you'll see a mountain and there's all this timber and all that, and then it thins out and then it becomes just grass or rock or whatever it is. You just can't grow up there. You know, the farther you go up a mountain, you can see more because all of the things that obstruct your vision begin to thin out and go out of the way. And you know, when we're really sacrificial, when we're really giving up things, when we're really working to present our bodies a living sacrifice, well, we have to go up because we have to begin to get rid of those things that limit our view and that occupy our time and our energy. And you know, we've got ADD on everything. The path to sacrifice is upward. It's not down. It's not down. And we're built to sacrifice. Lord created us, put it within us to do hard things. I was thinking about this, about Christ's crucifixion, and did a little bit of research. Take it for what it's worth. I didn't ask AI. I tried to do some old school research with Google minus their AI. But I was like, well, how tall was the Mount Calvary? How tall was it? And doesn't look like it was that high. The measure was in meters, and I'm not from Britain, so I don't know how to calculate that. But over the rest of the city, maybe it was 50, 60 feet, whatever it was. Oh, I haven't been in Jerusalem, those of you who were there. They typically don't. I don't think that they typically made a spectacle of killing people in a place where they couldn't be seen. It was intentional so that everyone could see it. And so I think about Christ's path of sacrifice. And at least some of it had to be up. Had to be up. To go upwards. I was doing a little bit of research, and you know, there's all these different thoughts of it. You know, that, well, how much did the cross of Christ weigh? Well, I mean, you can say all sorts of stuff. But common thought is probably about 300 pounds. That's heavy. 300 pounds. And the cross piece on it, right? The cross piece they would typically nail the hands, is probably about 100 pounds. It's a lot. Christ, as he went through this, you know, he was beaten and beaten and beaten and cut and bled. And, you know, I have just a little bit different. I think Bob had said it. He and Liza were listening to something about the medical, the physiological stuff that happened to Christ as his body was being destroyed. And you know, the more blood you lose, it's harder to breathe. So all those little blood cells, you know, every time you breathe in, each one of those little hemoglobin, it grabs 4 oxygen molecules. The more you lose, it's harder to breathe. Obviously, it can't remove impurity. I didn't come up here to do a medical lesson, but you can't remove impurities that come and all that. And it, you know, so when Christ got to this point where they stuck this cross on him and said, now walk and now go. Well, I mean, even just a tiny incline had to be terrible. It had to be just all he could do. In fact, it was all he could do. To the point where the guards there, whoever was in charge, said, maybe he can make it all the way up, but he might not survive it. And he's supposed to be crucified. So we see here in Luke 23:26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and they laid him there, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So they said, This guy might not live until he finally drags himself to the top of this path to sacrifice. And he needs to get all the way up there. And so they grabbed this dude. I tried to do a little bit of research on this. And the common thought is that Simon, the Cyrenian, he was there. The thought is he was probably a Jew. He was there for the Passover. He may have been a Christian. He may have been there as witness. But I guarantee that he probably didn't show up thinking that he was going to be ripped out of a crowd and told, pick this up and go. We've heard a lot this week about pillars. We've heard a lot this week about stepping up. Jay said, toughen up. Toughen up. We can do hard things. The path to eternal life is narrow, and it's difficult. And in it, you may be asked to do things that are difficult. You may be asked to sacrifice. I don't know what this conversation was like. Simon here, what was it like? Was he at the front of the crowd? Is that why? He probably looked like he was in decent shape, or they might not have chosen him. Probably wasn't, I'm sure they didn't have wheelchairs there, but he probably wasn't in a wheelchair. You know, he looks like a guy who can handle this. And for whatever reason, they went and they said, it's your turn to help carry the burden of Christ. Now, he probably had at least somewhat of a choice. Not that he could have said no and they'd be like, oh, we'll pick somebody else. But maybe he could have turned and ran. Maybe he could have, you know, I haven't stretched yet and I got this hamstring injury, so maybe somebody else. I don't know what it was, and that sounds silly. I get it. But he probably did have a choice. But it probably wasn't his intent to go there to watch Christ be crucified. But the call was put upon him. Take up the cross of Christ and help him. We've talked about pillars. We've talked about the need. We talked today about potentially or hopefully creating other boards of publications in different regions of our church to put together the necessary things for the strengthening of the people. Someone has to do it. Someone has to sacrifice. Not just young men who the Lord does want you to be willing to do hard things and shoulder a burden and give it your best, and the Lord wants to use you, but women. I can't say enough about the things. You know, some of the most important lessons in my life came from the women in my life. I have been, and I hope this doesn't embarrass her, but I've been chastised more than once by our sister Chris. And I'm appreciative of it. I'm appreciative of it. I know where it comes from. I have no doubt. There are these things that a church needs to do, that the Lord's church needs to do. Simon probably didn't show up thinking he was going to lift a 300-pound cross. But he was asked, and he did. Maybe he was asked by sword point. I don't know. I mean, we're not going to do that here, I hope. Hey, I need you to be an elder, or else. Should we have to do that? Or should it rather be our pleasure? Our pleasure. Two of these scriptures here, I don't have to read either of them fully, but it just says, hey, when you're buried in baptism, that then you were raised up. Again, up. Up. Not down, wallowing in the grave, not covered in those things, but going upwards, just like Christ. Going upwards. We're called to go upwards, to be sacrificial, to change, and to not be afraid of the shame or the hardship or the sweat. Or, I bet that cross was covered in blood. And I think someone said it, this conference, you know, people really only had like one set of clothes probably. I think Jay said that, you know. So here this guy shows up. I'm just here to participate in the Passover, and I wonder what's going on, you know. And this guy Christ, you know, I don't know, maybe he knew him, whatever it was, but now he has to pick up this cross, and maybe he ruins his clothes. You know, you just think about these things. The Lord asks us to do, and so we're asked to come up from the dead, from those things that are dead. Well, I'm coming close to a close here. I appreciate your guys' attention here. You know, Matthew 3, 5, 13 through 15, it makes this statement, we all know this, that we're supposed to be salty. Supposed to be salty. There's a thing in the fire department. You get these guys who are salty. They're just grumpy about everything. You say, oh, that guy's just salty. No, that's not what we're supposed to be. There's 1,000 sermons taught on it. I'm not going to go any further than to say, this is what Christ says. He says, you are to be. This is what you should be. Because this is upward. This is going up. That you look to be a blessing and a benefit to everyone who's around you. There's a part for everyone. There's a piece for everyone. I don't care if you're retired and you only go out to the grocery store once a week. There is something that you can do. There's a way that you can serve. There's a way that you can proclaim Christ. There's a way you can do it. It is there. It is there. And my brother Trevor Ratt, we all know it. He says, I pray for an opportunity. And he's given it. Every time, he's given it. Because it's there. Now, are you willing to shoulder the burden of being salt? Or light, set on a hill, up high. Set on a hill. You know, this is part of going higher. Are you willing to be seen? I want to just tell you here that one of the things I was totally convicted of, and the Lord has blessed me because of this. You know, when I started 20 years ago now in the police department, when I started, I was a young man. I had just gotten married. I was 23 years old. I was spiritual. I was serious, somewhat. You know, I mean, I was going to work. I wanted to have a good time. I enjoyed the job. I liked chasing people. This sounds bad. I liked fighting people. And that's probably not the most Christian thing, and I'm sorry. But, and I just kind of did my thing. And I wasn't bad, but I also probably wasn't good. Maybe I was kind of like Batman, you know, right in between. I looked a lot like him, too. And I made some changes in my life. The Lord called me into the ministry, and it was difficult to try to change people's view of me. To a guy who was always joking, always goofy, always all that sort of stuff, you know, and maybe didn't walk away at an inappropriate conversation, or maybe just added a little bit to it to try to be different. It was hard. And I had some good opportunities there. When I began testing for the fire department, you know, you have everyone, there's an interview, and I made this decision that the first thing I will tell them when they ask, tell us about yourself, I am going to proclaim who I am. And at first it was hard. You don't know what these people are going to think about you, and nobody wants a Bible thumper on a truck with them for 48 hours. But the Lord asked me to be salt, and he asked me to be light. And I couldn't do it if I wasn't willing to proclaim myself. So every time I sat down before a different board, they said, well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I am a Christian. I am a pastor. My priority is, and I said it every time, and you can see their notes. It's there. I said it every time. And I got hired on this department. You know what? It was set. That was what I was. It was the standard that then I was held to. It was hard to proclaim myself, but when I did, oh man, the Lord blessed me. And I've already told you some of the things I've been blessed to do, you know, these people whose life, and this isn't the people that call the fire, but I'm talking about just with the firefighters that I work with and everything. I'm able to do amazing things. And I see that, you know, when I was willing to try to go up a little higher, oh man, the Lord blessed me. He blessed me. And I'm grateful for it, and every day is still a challenge. At work, every day is a challenge. I've told people this, and the firefighters who are in this room know it. I work in a giant locker room. Every time I get in the truck, it's a locker room and all the talk that goes there. And I live with them. We sit around a table. We do all this sort of stuff. And every day is a challenge. But the Lord asked me to be a light. We don't necessarily need to go through all of these, but, you know, and I'm just kind of going back Sermon on the Mount scriptures here, back and forth, Bible to Book of Mormon, just go out of both of them. But this is just talking about, you know, the way that you perceive one another. That not only don't go kill somebody, but, hey, don't be angry. Now, that's a real challenge. That's hard to go up. A lot of you know this. I've said it lots of times. I have an anger problem. One time in my life, I had such a bad temper, and it would just take that for me to go off. And, you know, I could not be successful of moving upwards in this narrow path if I did not let the Lord and ask the Lord to help me change this. And, you know, it's a struggle every day for me. There's plenty of stuff for me to get irritated at. My family will tell you this. Especially when I come home from work and I haven't had much sleep, I realize I'm a bit of a bear, kind of like my dad was. You know, this is what the Lord calls us to. And I can just keep going here, you know, resolving issues with each other. It means going upwards. It means sacrifice. Your feelings, your frustration, your feelings of it not being fair, whatever it is not more important than going up where Christ calls you. And there's lots of other things. You know, we think about challenges. We think about challenges about, as Christians and all, we think about persecutions and all that. But and that maybe comes, right? Maybe comes. And in some places, it's there. I haven't felt a lot of it. People I work with don't care that I believe in the Book of Mormon. It's not, you know, it's not a big thing there. Nobody's bothered by it. My best friend calls it the Third Testament. I'm okay with that. But there are other things that are a challenge to ascend, like how you manage your time. It's a challenge if you're going to move upwards. You take time to reflect on the Lord and your human tendencies, and, you know, these are all these things that we need to be considering just as we're in this path going upwards. I love this scripture. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 15, the Lord tells the people, he says, when you're doing business, when you're hanging out with each other, whatever it is, you are going to have one measure. He says, you're not going to have a bag with different weights. So when you're doing business, you're going to slip a different weight in there on this, whatever they call that, balance or scale, whatever it is, you know. You're not gonna have different measures. You're gonna have a just and a perfect weight, and you're gonna measure things perfectly. And I don't think he was just talking about doing business. It's in your life, you are going to do things as you walk out of these doors in the world the same way that you would do it in these doors. Because that's the challenge. I don't have a problem talking about bad things around you people. It's very easy. It's a challenge when I go to work. It's a challenge when I talk to some of my friends who I still have relationships with and all that. You know, the Lord says, don't have a different measures. Go upwards. Measure it with my word. I like this scripture. This scripture talking about that you're praying and not praying so that you do it to be heard like the hypocrites, but go into your closet and pray to the Lord. You know, what is it that he's saying here? What is it that he's saying? So you do these things. You serve the Lord, not because you think you're going to get anything from it, but because it is in your heart to do. It's in your heart to do for the Lord. The love that you have for him, it's in your heart to do. And, you know, for me, that's a challenge sometimes because I struggle with pride. I struggle with pride. It's hard for me. And I think about this a lot. You know, why? Why am I doing this? Is it because of my love for the Lord? If nobody saw it, would I be inclined to do this? This is going upwards. You know, as it comes to this whole thing I've been talking about, working out and being physical and all that sort of stuff, you know, I do it because ultimately, so I'm not up here some muscle-bound guy flexing and all that sort of stuff. that's not, you know, I don't look like it, like I work out a lot, but I do. Why? So I can do my job better. So I can do my job better. Because I want to be able to be good at what I've committed myself to. And this is, you know, the Lord is asking us to do that. Is it in your heart to change? Is it in your heart to give up, to put yourself out there, to sacrifice, to go without sleep, to, you know, whatever it is? And there are these open rewards. And I want to tell you just one testimony here, and then I'll get my last scriptures and I'll be done. But I want to tell you this. You know, I talked about the opportunities the Lord's given me, and there's a scripture that Paul makes this statement, and he says, "Don't be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed of sometimes the way we do our services, or people, you know, we do things all sorts of different ways, and it's, you know, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to serve." Well, I'm going to tell you a quick testimony. I was working, we were working, and just on the other side of my station, there's an elementary school, and we end up going there frequently. You know, they have events, they want firefighters, or whatever. We go, we take the truck and all that, and the principal and her personal secretary there, we get to know pretty well, and I know them, very sweet. We get a call one day there at the school. I think a child with this is altered level of consciousness. That's something you get a lot. Something's wrong, you know. Is it diabetic issue? They pass out, you don't know. Show up there, we go in the office, and there's this little girl there. She's 8 years old. And begin talking, and she looks like she's probably having a stroke. And can't move one whole side of her body. She's trying to talk to me. She can't. She's drooling. And, well, the principal's secretary, it's her daughter. And not that it makes it different, you know, I'm concerned with all of our patients, but it just became a little personal there, you know. And boy, this little girl, in a matter of just a couple minutes while we waited for an ambulance to come, was getting worse and worse and worse. And where I work, the town I work, you know, Phoenix metro area, it's all touching. It's this huge thing. But the inappropriate children's hospital is a pretty decent drive there. And so in the drive as we're taking her there, oh, she's getting worse and worse. And now she's having trouble breathing and her jaw is locking up. And we're thinking, well, we're going to have to intubate this little girl. We're going to have to do us in the back of a moving vehicle. I mean, this is hard. This is hard stuff. And we get to the hospital and they take her in to this room, and I just kind of peek, and there they begin doing this stuff, and they're gonna intubate her and all that. Her mom's standing out there, and just not even you could imagine, and hadn't seen her yet. And I went to her and I said, you know, when you go in there, it's gonna be scary. It's going to look very scary. And she begins to break down. Now I want to just say this, and this is because I made this statement about it. I don't want you to be ashamed, be embarrassed or anything. And this is the busiest hospital in Phoenix. I don't know how many patients they see a year. It's some outrageous amount. And it's very busy. They have very little patience for you standing in the hallways or anything like that. The doctors and nurses are rude. They're just busy. There's not bad people. And I'm asking this mom and telling her, you know, it's going to be scary. She's breaking down, and said, you know, are you a believer? She said, yeah, I am. She said, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. Can I pray with you? She said, I wish you would. And so we knelt. She just knelt. I'm not going to stand over top of her, this giant guy, and she's going to kneel there. No, I'm going to kneel with her. This hallway full of annoyed doctors and medical techs and everything, and prayed for this little girl. And my crew watching me, now they know what I believe, and they've heard me say things, but they've never seen that, and boy, is that weird. It's not normal. And, you know, I bet they probably did one of these, you know. I had to summon up courage. And, you know, the Lord offered a blessing. It was several months later. Boy, she had quite a recovery. She really had quite a recovery. We were coming back from a call one night. It had been late. We hadn't had a chance to go shopping for dinner. Said, let's go ahead and go by this restaurant. Let's go ahead and get something to eat there. And as we're walking up, I'm looking on the patio there, and I see a family. And I said, they look familiar. And they come running out to us. And this little girl comes running out and hugs us. And the Lord healed her. Healed her. Phoenix Local, we prayed for her. And maybe others as well. We prayed for her. And healed her. She still got some issues and all that, but you know, she was this close to death. And did I do that? No. But the Lord, it's awesome when the Lord uses you. It requires humility, you know. I had to not be ashamed. And I'm ashamed today to say that my first inclination was, hey, let's go find someplace quiet. Let's go away where we can be in private. It felt like in that moment, and this isn't in all of my life, but in that moment I fulfilled what the Lord was asking here. You do these things because it's in your heart to do for Him and not for any other reason. That's higher. That's higher. Well, I sang that song, my son sang that song, and I accompanied him, and you know, it's a beautiful song with this beautiful promise. And I remember this, that our brother Don McIndoe said this many years ago. He said, if you're to ask the people in Mexico, so many of them, he said, what's your favorite scripture verse? They will stop and they will quote this whole thing to you. It's this beautiful verse. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. And those that have no might, he increases strength. You know, you need strength when you're going up. Up. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. This is beautiful encouragement from Isaiah, from the Lord. I'm still working on it, guys. Still working on these things that I talked about tonight. Lord put this message on my heart because it's something I still need to be exercised in. So I'm not quite there. The Lord's calling us up higher. We can do hard things. We can make hard changes. I mean, as a people, we can do it. As an individual, you can do it. We can sacrifice. We can make sacrifices. We can trust the Lord to handle things. He's been doing it an awful long time without my intervention. I don't know why I think I need to tell him the parameters or give him the wisdom. I just don't need to do that. He's really got it figured out. And he's asking me, hey, come up here with me. Got to portion apart for you something that you can do. And there's work to be done, work everywhere. We have work to do in Phoenix. We have work to do everywhere in the church. It's everywhere. There's enough for everyone. The question is are you willing to take up your cross? Are you willing to be pulled out of the crowd to help carry this burden? Are you willing to do it? Have you talked to your family about it? Have you talked to your spouse about it? Have you felt something in your heart? Maybe this conference, you're like, we should do this. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to take a part? And I'm still working on this. I'm not all the way there. Anyway, those are the thoughts that I had tonight. I sure appreciate your guys' attention as I've shared these things. I am really happy to see everyone here. I really am. I'm happy to come back. I know sometimes I don't. I hope I don't seem like I'm not friendly or happy. I got a mind full of stuff, and I'm tired. And we had a tiring day today. Today was tiring, and You know, the Lord asks us to go upwards when we're tired, because His promise is here. When you're tired, when you're weary, when you wait upon Him, have you ever done a study on what that means? Wait means to bind together by twisting. When you twist yourself together with the Lord, you gain strength from Him. It's His strength, and it's better, way better than my strength. And so this is the promise of God and the thoughts that are upon my heart tonight. So God bless you each. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight.